What You Need from the Night by Laurent Petit-Mangin, read by Peter Noble and Simon Darwin. Fuss charges across the pitch. He goes in for a tackle. He likes tackling. He does it well, without throwing his opponent off course too much, but viciously enough to stop him for a moment. Sometimes the other guy fights back, but Fuss is big, and when he's playing, he looks mean. He's been called Fuss since he was 3. Fuss is short for Fussball, Luxembourg style. No one calls him anything else anymore. He's Fuss to his teachers, to his mates, to me, his dad. I watch him playing every Sunday, come rain or frost, leaning on the barrier, apart from the others. The pitch is a long way from everything, framed by poplar trees, with the car park at the bottom of the hill. The little shack used for serving drink and snacks and storing equipment was repainted last year. The grass has been excellent for a few seasons, although nobody knows why. And the air's always cool, even at the height of summer. No noise, just the motorway in the distance, a faint hum that keeps us in the world. A lovely place. You'd almost think it was a pitch for posh people. You'd have to go 15 kilometers up to Luxembourg to find a better kept pitch. I have my spot. Far away from the seats, far away from the little group of loyal fans. Also far away from the visiting team's supporters. A direct view of the only hoarding at the field, the kebab stand that does everything. Pizza, tacos, the American, steak and chips in a half baguette. Or the Stein, white pudding and chips, also in a half baguette. Some people, like Mohammed, come and shake my hand. Inshallah, we'll destroy him. Is Fuss on form today? And then go off again. I never get worked up. I never complain like the others do. I just wait for the match to be over. This is my Sunday morning. I get up at 7, make coffee for Fuss, give him a shout. He wakes up straight away without a word of complaint, even if he went to bed late the previous evening. I wouldn't like to have to push it, to have to shake him. But it's never happened. I say through the door, Fuss, get up, time to get going. And he's in the kitchen a few minutes later. We don't usually speak. If we do, it's about the previous day's mess game. We're in Department 54, but locally we support mess, not Nancy. That's just how it is. We always keep an eye on our car when we park it near the stadium. There are idiots everywhere. Morons who get worked up at the sight of a 54 registration and who are quite capable of giving your car a going over. If it's the day after a match, I read him the report from the paper. We have our favourite players, the untouchables, the ones who will leave sooner or later. The club doesn't know how to keep them. They get lured away as soon as they start to shine. We're left with the rest, the sloggers, the ones we shout at 20 times a match, telling ourselves that they should get the hell out of here. We've had enough of their bullshit. All in all, if they get their jerseys wet, even when they've got 2 left feet, they can stay. We know what we're worth, and we know how to make do. When I watch Fuss play, I tell myself that there's no other life. No life apart from this one. There's this moment of people shouting, the sound of studs making contact with the grass and pulling away again, the shouts of his teammate, the one he doesn't get to quite on time, not playing deep enough, that rage they yell from the depths of their throats when scoring or conceding their first goal, a moment when there's nothing I need to be doing, one of the only moments I still have with Fuss. A moment that I wouldn't lose for anything in the world. The moment I wait for more than anything else throughout the week. The one that gives me nothing but the fact of being there. That resolves nothing. Nothing at all. When the game is over, Fuss doesn't come back straight away. I don't wait for him. And he doesn't show